Parshas Truma. The Torah in this week's parasha, of course, discusses at great length the construction of the Mishkan. And I'd like to focus tonight, for a moment or two, on Va'asu Oroin, Perek Chafhei Pasuk Yud. Va'asu Oroin, you shall make an Oroin. Of course, this is the Ark that housed the Luchos HaBris. Now, the Gemara tells us in a number of places, in Megillah, in Bava Basra, in Yuma, in a number of places, that the Oroin, the Mokoim of the Oroin, was Einoi Min Hamido. What does that mean, Einoi Min Hamido? It actually did not fit in according to the laws of science and physics. Why not? Because, as Rashi explains and the Gemara tells us, something simply does not add up over here. Because we know, Chazal tell us, that on either side of the Oroin there was a width of 10 amos, which is 20 altogether. But the entire width of the Kodesh Kodshim was 20 amos. So where did the Oroin go? It's an anomaly. That's what it means, Einoi Min Hamido. It just apparently it didn't take up space, which doesn't make sense, because the Torah clearly tells us, it definitely had dimensions. So how can you have a Kodesh Kodshim of 20 Amos width, 10 Amos on either side of the Oroin? So where does the Oroin go? Doesn't make any sense. So that's what the Gemara tells us, that the Oroin is Einoi Min Hamido. The Midos, the measurements, the dimensions of the Oroin simply don't really add up. So clearly this is miraculous. Now we find a very interesting addition to this, and with this we'll try to explain, Be'ez Hashem, what was the whole concept. What does that mean, that the Oroin is Einoi Min Hamido? The Gemara in Erevin tells us in Daf Nun Gimel Amud Aleph that Rabbi Yochanan said, when we used to learn Torah with our Rebbe, Rabbi Oshia, we could sit four Talmidim in one Amma, which is even squashier than this room. Four Talmidim in one Amma, and Rebbe says, that's nothing. When we learned Torah with Rabbi Lezer ben Shamua, we used to sit six in one Amma. Now an Amma, how big is an Amma? An Amma is either 48 centimeters, or according to the Chazon Ish, about 60 centimeters. So if you have six Talmidim sitting in an area of 60 centimeters, you get 10 centimeters each. How can that be? Bernard, I challenge you to try. You will not be comfortable.
It won't be comfortable, but
it's a physical impossibility, says the Marashah Alamakom. The Marashah says, Vov, Vov, Ba'amo, to Dobo She'i Efsha. It's a physical impossibility. How can everybody sit in an area less than one Tefach? Says the Marsha, the Yesh Loima Shohoyo Nes. This was a miracle. This was a miracle. There's no way physically that you can scientifically explain how six people or even four Talmidim can fit into the area of a Tefach. Says the Marsha, this is clearly one of the places Dahamuat Machzik Hamaruba. What does that mean? The Muat is Machzik the Maruba. The small area contained the larger amount. In other words, it contained more than it could physically do so. Now, where does that expression come from? Where does that expression come from? That expression of Muat Machzik Hamaruba goes back all the way to the first day of creation. All the way back to the beginning of time. The Torah writes in Parashas Bereishis that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Yikovu Hamayim, all the water of the world should be collected El Mokoim Echod, to one place. Now something doesn't make sense. And the Medrash over there discusses this. What did the world look like prior to creation? It was full of water. Full of water. So how can you take all the water which fills the whole world and then put it all in one place? Doesn't make sense. It's like taking a cup of water which is absolutely full, brim full to the top, and then saying, okay, I want to move all the water in this cup just to the left-hand side of the cup. It doesn't make sense. It fills the whole cup. So the Medrash says, and this is really what the Marsha is quoting, the Medrash says, Mikan, from over here you see, Shehichzik Muat Es HaMeruba. The small housed the large. That even though there was a large amount of water, enough really to fill the entire world, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu miraculously housed it all, B'mokoyim Echod, and that's called the sea. And the dry land is now devoid of water, even though prior to creation it was all created, it was all covered in water. Says the Medrash, this is not the only example of its kind. There are a number of occasions in our history where you see this phenomena repeat itself, in which Hamiut Machzik Es HaMeruba, where the small area can contain far more than it physically should be allowed to do so. For example, it says in Parashas Chukas, Im Perek Chof Posuk Yud, it says there that when Klal Yisrael were thirsty and Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to extract water from the rock, and the Lashon of the Posuk is, Vayakilu Moshe V'Aaron Es HaKohol, Moshe and Aaron gathered all of Klal Yisrael. Where did they gather them to? El Pnei HaSola, the face of the rock. Now, how do you gather all of Klal Yisrael by the face of the rock? However big the rock was, we're talking about 2 million people here, minimum. So the Medrash says once again, Mikan Shemut Machzik Es HaMeruba. So clearly a small area, which, according to its physical dimensions, should not have been able to contain many people, was able to contain all of Klal Yisrael. Says the Medrash, I'll give you another example. In Parshas Vo'era, how did the whole Makkah of Shechin begin? It says that Moshe and Aaron took a fistful of ash and then sprinkled it along with Shechin. But where did they take this fistful from? It says they took it from Piach Kivshon, from the furnace. You cannot fit all the ash from a furnace in one handful. It's impossible. It's a physical impossibility. Says the Medrash once again, Mikan Shehichzik Muat Es HaMeruba. So you see, this is a recurring theme, a miracle that has been repeated throughout the ages. And maybe the most famous example, and the Medrash actually quotes this, and it's a Mishnah in Ovos. Mm-hmm. What does the Mishnah say? Oimdim Tzfufim. When Klal Yisrael came to the Beis HaMikdash, the Mishnah tells us that actually there were 10 miracles in the Beis HaMikdash, but one of them was Oimdim Tzfufim. They used to be standing there, packed, all of Klal Yisrael and the Beis HaMikdash, umishtachavim revochim. And when they bow down, all of a sudden they all found that they have 4 amas on either side. They were able to bow down and have 4 amas on either side. It says the Medrash once again, this is another manifestation of the miut being machzik Es HaMeruba. How can you have a small amount of area able to house all of Klal Yisrael plus 4 amas on either side? That takes much more than the area which exists in the Beis HaMikdash. The answer is miut machzik Es HaMeruba. So let's come back to the Marasha. The Gemara tells us that these Talmidim describe sitting with their Rebbe 4 to the Amo, or 6 to the Amo. Says the Marasha, that's a miracle. And this is a manifestation of Miut Machzik Es HaMeruba. So now we know what the Marasha is referring to. He's referring to that Medrash, and this Chazal, in which we are told that on various circumstances, various occurrences of Miut Machzik Es HaMeruba, and says the Marasha that this was another example. That's how you could possibly squeeze 4 or 6 Talmidim in a tiny area like an Amo. It doesn't make sense. Physically, it is miraculous. Mitan, we're talking about Machzik Es HaMeruba. So now, let's try and put the two together. And I saw that the principle that I'd like to suggest is Dvarim Mufurashim. Dvarim Mufurashim. We began with the Chazal that tells us the Oroin Einoi Min Hamido. There's an area which cannot really contain the Oroin, and it does. And now we have another Gemara that tells us that the Talmidim, learning Torah, also are in an area that cannot really contain them. So if we put the two together, what's the conclusion that we arrive at? That this miracle, in which space, the laws of dimensions and physics were transcended by the Torah, which is the Orin, because remember the Orin is what houses the Torah, is true also for those who study the Torah. For the simple reason, because what is an Orin? An Orin is a kli that houses the Torah. And what are Talmidei Chachamim? People who house the Torah. It's exactly the same. So it's not two different principles, it's the same principle. The Orin Einoi Min Hamido, the kli that houses the Torah, transcends the laws of physics. So too do Talmidei Chachamim, because they are an Orin. That is what a Talmud Chacham is. He is a guf that houses the Torah. And I found this mufurish in the Tashbetz. The Tashbetz has a pirish to Ovis. And on that Mishnah, where it says, Oim din tzfufim, so do you know what the Tashbetz says? The Tashbetz says, Ze hoyon nes godol. This was a terrific miracle, v'pnei shehoyso ha-shchino shom, because the Shechino resided there. And he says, Kol mokoim sheyesh boi gilui Shechino. Whenever there is a divine revelation, miut machzik esamaruba. And that's what was going on in Oim din tzfufim. Where was it taking place? In the Beis HaMikdash. That is the place of Shechino. Says the Tashbetz in conclusion, K'moisha Omru, just as they said, Oroin Einoi Min Hamido. So there it is, black and white. The Tashbetz is comparing and connecting the Oim din tzfufim miracle, which is Miut Machzik Samaruba, to the Oroin Einoi Min Hamido. That's really what it is. The Oroin does not take up space. How can that be? What's the explanation? There is no explanation. It's miraculous. Now, I discovered a fascinating thing this week. As mentioned, this pirish to the Ovois was written by the Tashbetz. The Tashbetz, who by the way lived 800 or 900 years ago, he also, in addition to writing a pirish to Ovois, he has tshuvas. He has responsa, halachic responsa. He's got a tshuva there in Chelek Gimel, where he is discussing, does Yerushalayim and the area of the Beis HaMikdash, do they still have Kedusha until this very day? Or once the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, did all the Kedusha go with it? And he has a whole halachic discussion. And in the end he writes the following absolutely fascinating observation. He says, I have a raya that the Kedusha still exists. What's his raya? So you'd think he'd bring halachic proofs. He does. But in addition to that, he says, because if you look in shuls in Yerushalayim, and we know a shul is always comparable to a Beis HaMikdash, he says specifically, when it comes to Shavuos time, remember the Tashbetz lived during the Zman of Golus, and he says, everybody gathers together in the shul in Yerushalayim, more than 300 people, and they all seem to fit in a Beis HaMedrash, which cannot possibly house them. Not only that, he says, Yoshvim Revochim, you sit with lots of space. How can that be? And he says, beautifully, Adayin hi b'kedushasa. Apparently the Kedusha is still very much in existence, and he concludes, V'zeh simon ge'ulah shlishis. This is the sign that the third and final redemption is on the way. The Kedusha has not dissipated completely. So this principle of Oim dim tzfufim u'mishtachavim revochim, the Tashbetz said, existed in his time in a Beis HaMedrash in Yerushalayim. So guess what? There's a tshuva in the Chasam Sefer where he writes in Yeridea, he quotes the Tashbetz and then he says, V'Hashem Yoideya. Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows, Ki Einai Ro'u. My own eyes have seen this, B'chutz La'aretz. Dohozeh. He says, my eyes have seen this. He says a very interesting post note to this. If anybody can explain this to me, I'd be very grateful. He says, V'loi ucha lefarish, but I can't expound. Why? Mipnei pritzei amenu. Because of the prutzim. People who are indecent, or the Rishoyim of our times, I assume he's referring to the Reform and the Haskol. He says, I can't go into detail, but Hashem knows that I've seen this in Chutz La'aretz. Now, there is a biography about the Chasam Sofer, and it's called the Chut HaMashulash, and they write there that he's referring to his own yeshiva in Pressburg. That's what they describe there. He's referring to his own yeshiva, in which there were hundreds of Talmidim. There were no way physically they could all fit in the yeshiva, and they just did. Says the Chasam Sofer, Hashem Yoideya, that I've seen this not only in Eretz Yisrael, in the Beis HaMikdosh or Yerushalayim, but here in Chutz La'aretz, even in Pressburg. This is the concept of Miut Machzikes HaMeruba, the Orein Einim in Amido. Now, if you can remember this shir for 6 weeks, I hope you remember it for life, but at least for 6 weeks, maybe a bit less, you'll have a beautiful vote for the Seder night. Because the Chasam Sofer himself says, what is the first thing we say when we begin the Seder night? Begin Magid. We begin, Ho Lachmo Anyo, this is the poor man's bread, Yacholu Abba Son of Mitzrayim, and then we say, Kol Dichvin Yeseh V'Yechel, Kol Ditzrich Yeseh V'Yitzach. So the Chasam Sofer says a phenomenal thing. Kol Dichvin? Anybody who's hungry? You'll have a queue of 700 people outside your front door. How are you going to fit them all in? You're inviting absolutely anybody and everybody. Kol Dichvin. You didn't say first 10. Kol Dichvin. How can you possibly invite everybody? How's that physically possible? That's what you've announced. So he says, because the Seder night is a night of celebration of all the Nisim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu performed for us, and it is the night in which we are mischazik in Emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If that's the case, then our houses become a mokim of Kedusha. And if they become a mokim of Kedusha, you can invite whoever you want. You'll fit them all in. That's what he says. Unbelievable. Kol Dichvin Yeseh V'Yechal, your house becomes a mini Beis HaMikdosh. Becomes a Mokum Kedusha. What are you discussing there? It's not just a history lesson. It's not just a commemoration. You're reliving Mitzrayim in a very real way in order to be Mitzchazek in Emunah. That becomes an Avoid of Kedusha. Oh, Avoid of Kedusha. Kol Dichvin Yeseh V'Yechal, you're all welcome. Come in, stream in by the thousands. We'll fit you all in. How's that physically possible? It's not. But this is no longer a physical house. Orein Einoi Min Hamido Hamiut Machzikes HaMeruba. And as the Chasam Sofer himself said, that my own eyes have seen this in Chutz La'aretz, in his own yeshiva. That they managed to house hundreds of Tamidim, even though physically it shouldn't really have been possible. Now, I saw also in the Ksav Sofer, there is a pasuk in this week's Sedra, if you have a chumashim in front of you, Perek Chof Hei, pasuk Chof Aleph, and it says as follows: V'nosato es hakapoires al ha'oroin milamalo. What's the kapoires? The kapoires was the lid of the oroin. Part one. Then it says, V'el ha'oroin titein es ha'edus. You should put in the edus. What's the edus? The luchos. So what's the order? Put the lid on the oroin, and put the luchos in the oroin. Is that the right seder? Rashi says, you first put in the luchos, and you then put the lid on the oroin. that makes a lot of sense, but it doesn't really seem to fit in the wording of the psukim. The wording of the psukim, the Ramban already discusses this. It sounds like you put the lid on and then somehow you get the luchas in afterwards. How can that be? How can that be? So listen to what the Ksav Sofer says, a phenomenal pshat. And this is really our theme tonight. Why are the luchas called avos? What do they testify to? The answer is, they testify to the fact that they are godly. Do you know why? What was miraculous about the luchos? What does Chazal say? There were two letters there that don't really make sense. Which letters? The samach and the final mem, because they're a square or a circle. So if you engrave them into the luchos, it should just fall out. And they just miraculously remain there. So therefore, the luchos are themselves eidus to the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the one who gave them in the first place. That's what it means. That's why they're called v'nosati es ha'eidus. Says the Ksav Sofer, oroin einoi min hamido, as we said before. The oroin doesn't take up space, says the Ksav Sofer. Do you know what that represents? It represents the Talmud Chochem, who also transcends the laws of time and space. A Talmud Chochem is exactly like an Oroin. This is our principle. Says the Ksav Sofer, an Oroin is a Kli that houses the Luchos. A Talmud Chochem is a person who houses the Torah. It's exactly the same. And just like the Oroin contains the Eidus, which is testimony to its divine existence, so too a Talmud Chochem lives a divine existence. How does a Talmud Chochem sustain himself? The answer is, supernaturally. Who were the Shevet in Klal Yisrael who represent the Torah? Levi, and they have no portion in Eretz Yisrael. So how do they sustain themselves? The answer is, miraculously. Says the Ksav Sofer, the Oroin in and of itself is just a box. But if it houses the luchos, oh, that's something different now. Then the Oroin becomes Kodesh as well. Why? Because what are you housing? You're housing the Eidus. You're housing the luchos. Says the Ksav Sofer, this is the way you must read the Pasuk. Put the kapoires al ha-Oroin. Place the lid on the Oroin. You're probably wondering to yourself, I'm more than happy to put the kapoires on the Oroin, but just please tell me, where is the Oroin? There's no space for it. It doesn't make sense. As we said before, 20 amas on either side, altogether, the whole Kodesh Kodashim was 20 amas. Says the Pasuk, I'll explain to you, because in the Oroin you have the Eidus. Ah, if the Oroin houses the Eidus, now I understand where its place is. Where is its place? It has no place. It just exists in no place. It's supernatural. That's the way you've got to read the Pasuk. Put the lid on the Oroin. Where is the Oroin? Don't worry, it doesn't take up any space. You know why? Because it houses the Eidus. Because it houses the Eidus. Now, you might remember, a couple of years ago we mentioned, we quoted Rabbi Yaakov Hillel Shlita, who actually came once to the Grah Shul on Shabbos afternoon. And then we gave a whole shiur quoting him. I just want to quote one line that he said then. Do you remember what else was in the Kodesh Kodshim besides for the Oroin? There was a Tzinsenes Hamon, a little flask of Mon. It was only in the Kodesh Kodshim, it was in no other place. What does that represent? So he explained there that there are two types of Kalim. There were two Kalim in the Beis HaMikdash that represent the Torah. What were they? Well, obviously the Oroin, and also the Menorah. Kineir Mitzvah, the Torah Oir. What's the difference between the Menorah and the Oroin? So he said, because there are two types of people who learn Torah. There's one type of person who learns Torah, but only at limited times. There's another type of person who dedicates his entire life to the study of Torah. The menorah has seven branches, which represent 7 days. And it's opposite the shulchan, which has 12 loaves, correspond to 12 months. That's the concept of time. So for that, Menorah represents those who learn Torah at specific times. So that's opposite the bread. You've got to work for your parnasa. Then you have the Oroin, which is in the Kodesh Kodshim. That represents those who dedicate their entire lives to the Torah. So where does their parnasa come from? The Tzimtzemes Hamon, supernatural. They don't work. How do they sustain themselves? Miraculously. Therefore, the Oroin is Einoi Min Hamido. It doesn't take up space. It exists supernaturally. So too, it is sustained supernaturally. And by the way, one should add, there was one other thing in the Kodesh Kodshim. The Oroin also had Badim. What are the Badim? The poles that support the Oroin. Because those who support Torah also are zoicha to live a supernatural existence. And the truth of the matter is, I just met somebody last week in Ramah Gimel. He's one of our Kodesh supporters. So I met him in the street and I said to him, I just want to thank you. Thank you for supporting our Kodesh. And he said to me right off the bat, I don't support your Kodesh. Your Kodesh supports me. What's he quoting? Chazal. Chazal say, when you lifted up the Oroin, noise es noisov, it really carried those who carried it. You didn't need anybody to lift the Oroin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the opportunity with the poles there, as it were, to put in the effort, but then you found yourself being carried. I think we've mentioned the story of Rabbi Eliezer Gordon. He tells the Rosh Hashiva, who got married, and his father-in-law promised to support him for 5 years. And when the 5 years were up, his father-in-law said, that's it, it's all over, a promise is a promise, but an agreement is an agreement. And he begged his father and said, please, please, I want to learn, and if I have to go and seek Paranos, I won't be able to learn. And his father-in-law said, fine, one more year and that is it. And after the year was up, he tells his son-in-law, listen, it's been 6 years now, that really is the limit, no more support. And the next day, the father-in-law passed away. And his son-in-law, Rabbi Eliezer Gordon, famously said, the question is, who is supporting who? We think that we're supporting the Torah is actually supporting us. That's what the Badim. The Badim is what we carry the Oroin with? No! If you carry the Oroin carries you. But that's our way of connecting to the Torah. So for the Badim are also in the Kodesh Kodshim. So anybody who either dedicates their life to Torah or supports those who do so, they're all in the Kodesh Kodshim. And they get sustained supernaturally. They get sustained supernaturally. Who is the Shevet, as we mentioned before, that are the learners? Shevet Levi. You know what the Rambam famously writes? The Rambam famously says, it's not only Shevet Levi. It's anybody who dedicates his life to Torah, and I listen to his phraseology, he can sanctify himself and you can become Niskadesh Kodesh Kodshim. Oh, we know what he means. You can enter the Kodesh Kodshim, but I'm not Shevet Levi, it doesn't matter. The Torah is free for all. Either by learning it, or by supporting it, you enter the Kodesh Kodshim. Once you enter the Kodesh Kodshim, all the laws of science completely shelved. Einoi min amido, miot machzik samaruba, tzinsenes hamon, all the laws of nature and science count for absolutely nothing. So, I just want to say in conclusion, I saw in the Shemi Shmuel, in Parashas Nosei, where he discusses this principle, and he has an incredible line there. He says, the Mishkan and all the Kelim therein, which is what we're discussing, Heim Bedugmas Odom. Everything is representative of human being. They're all Mesholim for the human being. And in the same way as the Beis HaMikdosh existed supernaturally, and specifically the Oroin, so too a person must realize, as we've said before, he can also live supernaturally. V'zeh goyrem chizuk godel. He says, this is a tremendous inspiration for us, biyad hamisrashlim u'misyashim, in the hands of the ones who've given up hope. When you hear the terrible words, I can't. can't. The Orein Einim in Amida. We can't fit the Orein in, and it existed anyway. We cannot have all the members of Klal Yisrael and the Beis Hamikdash. We can't, and we do anyway. The Tashbetz and the Chassam Sofer said, we can't fit in the Talmidim and the Beis Hamidrash, and we did anyway. Anybody who dedicates their life to Torah, the words we can't don't exist. Don't exist. You get supernatural koichas. We've said many times. We're a Moshe Tzvi Finkel. Once knocked on the door of a very wealthy individual and he asked him for $1 million for the new yeshiva. And this gevir says, Hechkenish, I can't. So the Rosh Yeshiva said, I also can't, but I do anyway. And he wrote a check for $1 million on the spot. Kodesh Kodeshim. Do you know where this manifests itself most? This manifests itself most when a person is learning Be'iyun, Ba'amelus, slowly, and he thinks to himself, one moment, let me just get out my calculator. If I've been learning this Amud, or this Rashba, or this Tosas, and it's taken me a day and a half, it's taken me 3 days, so I'm going to have to live till about 600 to finish Shulchan Torah Kula. So how am I going to do it? How am I going to do it? I can't. It doesn't make sense. Work out the numbers. The answer is, Orein Einoi Min Hamida. All the laws of time and space count for nothing. Somebody once came to Ramosha Feinstein and he asked him a shayla la halacha. He said, what would be in the following case? And Ramosha says, it's mutter, it's fine, 100% okay. So the person says, but one second, if you don't mind me pointing out, I think the Prima Godim says it's asa. Prima Godim, one of the great commentaries to Shulchan Aruch. Ramosha says, it's fine, it's mutter. And this person didn't give up. He said, yeah, but I think in the Prima Godim, I'm aware of the Prima Godim, it's mutter. He still didn't give in. He went to the shelf, this Talmud, to get the Shulchan Aruch. He starts leafing through the pages to find the Prima Godim. And Moshe says, here, give me the Shulchan Aruch. And he turned to it straight away. He said, I know exactly which Prima Godim you're referring to. I've learnt it 283 times. He said, don't worry, it's still mutter. Now, one second. You hear that story, it gives you a headache. How did Moshe, he didn't live till 700. So how did Ramosha learn one Prima Godim, and there are thousands, 283 times? You remembered it so well, you remembered it better than the person who came to point it out to him in the first place. 283 times. If you learn that 283 times, it means that he learned Shulchan Aruch 283 times. There's over 1,000 simonim in Shulchan Aruch. Many more. 1,500 simonim in Shulchan Aruch. 283 times? How do you do that? The answer is Oroin Einoi Min Hamida. We don't ask questions on time, space, existence. The Oroin lives a supernatural existence. And as we saw in the Gemara, so too those who study the Torah. Why? Because they themselves are an Oroin. And that's what the Tashbetz told us, and that's what the Marashah was teaching us. How could these Talmidim squeeze in six to the Amo? The answer is, the Orein is the Kli that houses the Torah. A Talmud Chacham is exactly the same. He is a Kli that houses the Torah. So all the Talmidim in the Pressburg Yeshiva, all the Talmidim of the Tashbetz Yeshiva, they could all fit in. It made no sense. I can't! But you can, because you can do it anyway, because Orein Einoi Min Hamida. Miut Machzik Esamarubah. Where did you put the kapiras on the Orin? But where's the Orin? Oh, the Orin houses the Eidos. Oh, now I understand. If it houses the Eidos, and we don't ask questions of, but I can't. Where am I going to put the Orin? It doesn't take space. It transcends time. It transcends physics. It transcends science. That is the supernatural existence of the Orin. And as the Rambam says, that's not sole exclusive property of Shevet Levi. Anybody can enter the Kodesh Kodeshim. Either by dedicating their life to Torah, or by being the badim, supporting those who do so, either way you enter the Kodesh Kodeshim. And how are you sustained? Tzinsenes Hamon, a little flask of mon. That was also supernatural. That is the life of the Orein, and anybody who attaches themselves to the Orein, Orein Einei Min Hamida.